Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined...
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. Have you calmed down since Urinal Gate, from yesterday?
I got home. It was the first thing I told my lady partner about, because I'm still shaken up, to be honest.
Hashtag meeting.
And she said, she was like, well, why is that weird? And I was like, it's an unspoken rule of the bathroom that you don't do that if you can help it. And she was like, but Luke, what do you prefer? Would you prefer Luke to do it that you know? Or do you prefer a stranger? I was like, to be honest, I'd prefer a stranger to do it. Because then at least I don't have to look at him for the rest of the day knowing what's happened.
Well, I mean, it's been the talk of the town, really. It's been the talk
Has
of the
it?
Swaff Nation. Because we've had emails in. About this, I'm just going to read some of these out. Jason McDonald got in touch to say, hi Luke, Ollie, Laurie and the rest of the WrestleTalk jobbers. Count me on Luke's side in the pod poll about your awkward encounter before the Raw review. You should always leave a buffer urinal if there are three or more, but stalls should be used only if you need to sit down. The larger faux pas is talking to someone while they're at the urinal, which was your doing.
Outrageous.
Mark Herzig has got in touch to say, hi Luke, just want to give my 2 cents. You are correct about the urinal. It is perfectly fine to use the urinal next to someone, although leaving space is preferable if possible. Ollie made it weird by talking to a guy with his penis in his hand. That is the real weird part about this.
The stall, the cubicle was free.
Russell Abercrombie gets in. Morning, Luke. Listening to your latest podcast on the way to class this morning, thought I'd drop in my 2 pence worth. In short, you're spot on and Ollie is wrong. I have no idea why anyone would choose to pop off to a cubicle when a perfectly good urinal was there, unless they have something to be ashamed of, perhaps.
On the size of my penis is adequate.
James Huntley got in touch on Twitter to say, there is a caveat to this. Had there been 3 urinals and Ollie was at one end and you took the middle one, that is improper etiquette. If there is only 2, though, then you're 100% right. Save the cubicles for the poos. Matthew Perry got
in... I was not prepared for this level of...
Matthew Perry got in touch to say...
People on your side.
I guess Ollie would have a meltdown if he had to use one of these urinals, which is just the long trough ones.
I just piss in the corner on the floor. Find a good sink.
Yep. Sean Kataya on Twitter got in touch to say, what kind of monster designs a bathroom with only 2 urinals? That's the person that's really at fault there. 1 or 3 is okay, but 2 is just wrong. Stan LR65 has said Ollie Davis was correct.
Finally.
Matt McKnight says, Ollie was right here. Not the weirdo we need, but the weirdo we deserve. Cool guys said, sorry, Luke. Ross Cooper has said, public toilet etiquette is as follows. Under no circumstances do you stand next to the other man doing a pee at the urinal unless it's the only space remaining in the toilet. Ollie is 100% correct here, I'm afraid, Luke. Now, I did actually do a poll.
On what, on Twitter?
On Twitter, because I can't really do it on podcast. But I did do a poll on Twitter. So the votes are in, the results are in, and... Despite the
first official pod poll.
Despite the feedback via email and tweets, 59% agreed with Ollie Davis.
Thank you.
60%
vindicated.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the other pod poll, obviously about the vegetarian food and whether people wanted me to talk about it, Russ Libercombrie said on email, as for the second hashtag pod poll, I thought of vegetarians too. Hope you enjoy your night of starters. Thank you very much, Russell. And the results are in for that one. I'm just going through to see if there's any good. There's a lot of people. Someone said, where's the email? Oh, yes. Dr. Doom emailed in saying, Luke, most vegan meals are basically everyone else's appetizers. Sorry. Which, I mean, I'm not going to justify with a response because it's wrong. It's very, very silly. But I
have some feedback about the risotto thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where you claimed risotto was a starter.
Which it is.
That's like saying all pasta dishes are starters. We're not in Italy. You have a pasta course.
I disagree. I don't think you have spaghetti bolognese as a starter.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but
that risotto can be a main.
But when you go to restaurants, risottos are available as a starter. Whereas spaghetti bolognese is never available as a starter.
Yeah, but you have different kinds of risotto.
Oh, so because it's got mushrooms on it, now it's a main.
It's a bigger risotto. It's like you're going to have a different style for
but it's
main.
It's not just the fact that it's a risotto, it's the fact that the other option is like turkey with all the trimmings and mine is a starter. But anyway, the results for that poll are also in. And
what was the poll?
In the other pod poll, Podswafters, did you want to hear me talk about the veggie options at our Christmas do? And I can now reveal that 51% said
close
no.
That is a Brexit. That is a Brexit split. I never knew that more people, it would be closer on that than the urination gate.
Absolutely,
wow.
Yeah. So maybe we'll do more pod polls on the podcast.
Separate to Wrestle Talk question on the polls.
Well, absolutely, yeah. Well, yeah, very different.
So, of course, that is a... But because that has now been upheld by the SWAF Nation, that you were in the wrong and you did sexually assault me, that's your first HR strike. And I'm afraid to say, I've got a second HR strike.
Oh, yeah?
Here.
What?
Andy Datsun. WrestleTalk website writer and resident jobber. Enhancement talent Andy Datsun.
One of the wrestle types.
He's very good at singing.
Allegedly.
Although we get to hear that. Got in touch with this podcast and said, I'd like to make an HR complaint. I think he meant complaint. About Mr. L.
And he's one of our writers, is he? Mm. Mm.
It's a good website. He called Pete his favourite writer, but I think he should have a performance review for being so hurtful for tomorrow's ramble, if you like. Because, of course, you called Pete
my favourite writer,
writer on the website.
Andy got in touch with me to say that he's incinerated my birthday presents. And
like he bought one. He thought it was on the 14th.
I know, which is my 10th.
Well, yeah.
But Pete also got in touch with me to say that I hear I'm now your favourite writer, and I hear that Datsun might be suing you. So, I do want to say, you know, just for clarity, because I do love all of the wrestle tykes, but Pete's the best one. Like, it's just good to put that out there and just make sure we all are aware of that fact.
He is the only one who's visited us that we don't pay.
Yeah. Like, and he has to be here.
Yeah, like, that's his job.
Yeah.
But Pete just came out of the good of his heart.
Absolutely.
The good of his life-hating, but smiley, laughing heart.
Yeah. Every time I walk past a Greg's, I get a bit of a smile on my face. I'm like, Pete.
Oh, Pete. The Wrestle Tykes. Aren't they bicker between each other. Bless them.
Bless them. Got a quick Wrestle Talk Get Better here from Jumpy the Smark. Hey, Luke and Ollie, you may remember my email from a week or two ago talking about developing better eating habits, and now I have an update. I have not started a full-on meal plan, but I'm starting a 10-day sugar detox. No sweets of any kind. I know it's not a year, but it is something. Absolutely it is something.
Yeah. That's going to be tough. You'll realise how much stuff has sugar in like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's really tough. Because, my wife talked about doing no wastage in January, and I think that's going to be so much harder than we... I mean, we've got a plan in place, but I think it's going to be really difficult to do.
That is where you just try and cut down on all packaging of
food?
Yes,
that's right, yeah.
I remember reading an article about a lady who, you know, she recycled everything, and the only waste that couldn't be recycled at the end of the year could be fit inside a matchbox.
Wow.
And I was like, that's impressive, but you, like, when you do, I get that you need a visual representation for this article that, look, this is all the only stuff that I couldn't recycle if I really put my mind to it. But also, you could have not had that. you could have just eliminated that bit of waste as well.
Yeah.
So it's by the by.
Well, exactly. Well, have you ever read the book No Impact Man?
Is that about Johnny Impact?
No, John Morrison, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it was about a guy who tried to spend a whole year like having no impact on the planet.
I should have said Austin Aries. That would have been a better joke.
That is a better joke. And it's good. My brother lent it to me, but I did say, it's always a bit hypocritical there, because he's talking about like No Impact Man, but this is a book, which means that trees were cut down in order to make it, and he will have used his laptop in order to write this as well, so that's like electricity and stuff, so...
Make it digital only, he wants.
Well, but even then, like, but I'm using lithium batteries, which are bad for the planet as well, so, I mean, I get your cause and everything, and it's a very impressive feat, but at the same time, you're not being No Impact Now, are you?
Al Gore flew around the world promoting an inconvenient truth. Let me just think of that one.
Anyway, back to Jumping the Smark. After that, I can eat sweets, but I'm cutting sweet drinks out completely. I've also learned that fermented foods drinks such as kimchi or kombucha can help with sugar cravings. Mm. All the best, Jumping Tea Smark. My wife's into kombucha drinks. Don't really do much for me, in all fairness. But should we dive into the show itself? If you've been worried about that we're going to be too negative, and we've been negative Nellies as of late, well, you're in for an absolute treat, because this was a stonking episode of SmackDown Live. We very much enjoyed it. Here's the show.
Proceed.
Yeah, well, I mean, as I said, this show was like, it was a breath of fresh air. Like, after two awful weeks of Raw, after a really bad episode of SmackDown last
week. It wasn't
a
bad episode, it was just confusing.
I would say it was also a bad episode, okay, because it was actively trying to ignore everything that Survivor Series had set up.
Yeah, frustrating and confusing.
So frustrating. Yeah. So I would say that was a bad episode of television. And the very frustrating and ultimately pointless Survivor Series. It was just like, all of it had just been piled onto us at this one point, and everyone was like, you know what? It doesn't really matter. WWE don't care. The football's on, so they don't really care anymore. So we kind of like just resigned ourselves to this. Oh no, we've got like a whole month of this. We've got a really lackluster build to TLC. Strowman's out injured. We don't have Roman Reigns anymore. Raw doesn't know what it's doing. God, I can't wait for the Royal Rumble. And then this show happens. And I was like, I'm now excited for SmackDown again. I'm excited for things on SmackDown again.
In the coldest, darkest part of the year, as the nights grow longer and the days grow shorter, we have now a glimmer of light
to get us
through WWE Wrestling and the rest of 2018. And it is Asuka, Becky Lynch and Charlotte at TLC. I do feel like WWE have structured the last 2 months like how they structure every single goddamn match on Raw. We have been worked over.
Yeah.
We are the baby faces, fans in general. We've been worked over with Super Showdown, with Crown Jewel, with Survivor Series nonsense, with terrible Raws. And here was the first hope spot. So, Paige opened SmackDown. See why she had to be out there, but it's by the by, because she was announcing right away, there was no long promo, the return of Becky Lynch. I mean, she just, excuse me, she was only gone for two weeks.
But I said this on the SmackDown review, I was like, she missed Survivor Series and one episode of SmackDown. It feels like she's been gone forever. Like, I think it's because everything's been so bad. I was like, good, I'm so happy to see her. And she even said, like, I've been gone far too long. And I was like, yes, Becky, you have.
Well, it
really feels like you've been gone far too long.
It's not just that, it's because so much stuff has happened. Daniel Bryan's turned heel. There was all that nonsense at Survivor Series. Charlotte, has she turned heel? I don't know, I'm still confused.
She's definitely heal now.
I don't know. I don't think so.
No, I guarantee. No, okay, so I've got a theory on this.
Well, should we say what happened?
Yeah.
So Becky Lynch comes down. She cuts a cool promo saying, you know, because she's great. Everyone was so happy to see her. I was happy to see her. She's the most genuinely over person in WWE. There's now no argument about that. And she said that she wanted to fight on SmackDown. She wanted to fight at Survivor Series. but that WWE kept stopping her, but now she wants to see the person who replaced her, Charlotte.
Yes, she wants to question Charlotte about her actions at Survivor Series. Now, I'm just going to rewind this ever so slightly. Mm. Just take us back to last week when we sat here going like, that was a really confusing promo by Charlotte Flair. Rewind even further to Survivor Series when Charlotte Flair turned heel.
Yeah.
100% categorically, I will not have anyone else say, like, no, she did it for Becky Lynch. No. She turned heel.
She turned heel.
Every action she did was a heel action. The commentators were going, like, she's gone too far. The commentators were one step away from going, like, that was a heel turn. Mm. Like, she turned heel. She tweeted out, I have turned heel. Then on Tuesday, they were like, no, that's not. We'll just have her be Becky Lynch instead. So Charlotte came out, so fast forwarding a little bit now, to SmackDown. Charlotte Flair came out and said, I did that for Becky Lynch. I did that for every woman in that locker room. And Paige came out applauding her and said, like, what you did was aces. And then Charlotte beat Iconics essentially 2-on-1 as a babyface. Fast forward now to today's show. Charlotte Flair in this promo said, I didn't attack Ronda Rousey at Survivor Series for you or anyone back there. I did it for me. I'm like, well, what are you doing then? So she is 100% a heel now. It felt like they have ignored last week's promo and that doesn't matter. And it's now Survivor Series and here. And that bit was just like, it was a mistake last week.
No. I disagree. I think, so Survivor Series, she turned heel. The two nights after, they were like, oh, okay, we've created another Becky Lynch here. Good job, WWE. Pat on the back. We're not going to make the same mistake we made last time. We're going to get on their side right away. Because WWE are about 4 months behind on learning lessons. And that's, like, your theory would be perfect apart from Paige, who's the moral authority figure. She's a babyface, applauded Charlotte's actions.
Well, that's, but we're ignoring what happened last week.
They think she's a tweener. So that sort of frames her as a tweener. You're a badass. I'm sorry. I've got to fine you for attacking the referees. And then this week, Charlotte didn't do anything heelish. She was just very, very confident.
Oh, I think she was heelish. Her whole demeanor was more heelish. Like, the way she was dressed was more heelish. And, like, the fact that she essentially cut a promo on Becky saying, like, you've copied my father's gimmick. You've always been riding my coattails. And then saying, everything I did at Survivor Series, I didn't do for you, I did for me. Which contradicts what she said last week. And then she essentially, at one point, told Becky to shut up because she wanted to cut a promo on Ronda Rousey. I think she was a total heel here.
All of that stuff you just said, put that in Becky Lynch's mouth and you'll be going, what a badass. They're booking the same character.
But Becky was never saying, like, you've stolen my thunder. Oh, no, she didn't say, no. Okay, you've stolen my gimmick is more what I meant.
She said it on this show.
Okay, no, I'm talking about the Becky Lynch from a few months ago.
Yeah.
The Becky Lynch from a few months ago was coming out and saying, like, you fans turned your back on me. And everyone was like, no, we didn't. Mm. We actually love you even more now. And they tried and tried and tried, but Becky was trying to say heelish things. And I get what you're saying.
And Charlotte's not saying that here.
I think she was being a heel.
She never said you people. She never said. She never got one vaccination shot
in the butt.
Yeah.
And I actually completely see your argument, and I think that a lot of people will see your argument as well. And I think you've got a lot of water to that argument, and there's a lot of basis to there. But for me, when I was watching this, I didn't see WWE thinking they were booking a badass. I saw them booking Charlotte as a heel.
I'm really hopeful.
Maybe it's just she's easy to boo.
Yeah, I think that could be it. She's just naturally better suited to a heel. I genuinely think WWE have learnt the lesson from Becky Lynch. Mm. And she's the hottest thing in the company right now. And I think they're just going to try and replicate that with Charlotte, with Asuka, and have three really great tweeners.
Oh, to be Asuka's 100% a babyface.
Oh, well, you know, but sometimes she does heelish things. Like, I'm talking, back in NXT. I'm saying if you start to gear...
3 years ago.
Whatever. We'll see. I think there's real money in just pushing all three women as badasses.
Completely
and
agree.
And making them fight. And I think seeing the success they had with Becky, reluctantly, but they've eventually accepted it, and now they're doing the same thing with Charlotte in my eyes, rather than turning her heel. I think over the next few weeks, we'll see a similar badass transition for Asuka.
And I think you've got such a great point there, apart from that contradicting line that she said. When she said, I didn't do any of this for you, which literally last week she said that she did. That to me just felt like they were ignoring last week's promo and pretending that stuff she did with the Iconics never happened.
Mm.
And they're essentially, like I said in the review, this episode of SmackDown Live felt like a reset button was hit.
Yeah.
Where they essentially looked at last week's show and was like, that was a lot of that was an error. Let's just press the reset button on that and we'll just start over afresh. Mm. Let's just start doing loads of new feuds. We'll split up the Bar and Big Show. We'll start doing Joe and Hardy. We'll start doing this. We'll start doing that. And we'll just ignore a lot of the stuff we did last week.
Last week was the Thanksgiving episode. This was the true post-Survivor Series reset. So Becky and Charlotte have... I really like their interaction with each other.
Yeah.
Because there was no one trying to do bad comedy. They were both just trying to say, no, I'm better than you. I'm better than you.
Charlotte looked awesome as well.
Yeah, yeah. You stole, like Becky's there saying, you stole my gimmick by coming out here saying all that last week. And there was no like, oh, we're friends. Like yeah. That was the worst thing they could have done. No, Becky's like perfectly suited to her character. You're just copying me. And Charlotte very fairly says, you're just copying my dad. He's the guy who went around saying, I'm the man. It's such a simple, just solid underpinning to this feud of two people who claim that they're the best and they're going to hash it out to see.
Agreed.
And, crucially, they're not just going to repeat Charlotte Becky, which we have seen. Granted, we haven't seen it with this new dynamic, but they're not doing that at TLC because this is where this bit comes in. This was the most awkward part of the segment because Paige and Charlotte are going again, like...
Becky and Charlotte,
yeah. And Paige announces that they'll have a tight. Charlotte will get a title rematch at TLC, which I'm in for anyway. I want to see that match now.
The first ever women's TLC match. And it's funny enough, when we were talking about Evolution, when we did the Ramble Club podcast, we were saying, like, God, it really felt like they were building to a TLC match here, but I don't think that's going to happen at this point. But now we are. We're getting that TLC match. And credit to WWE. And this is definitely because there's no Stephanie here and there's no Michael Cole here, I feel. Randomly, yeah. but because neither of those are like a constant factor on this show, or at least in this show's production, this is the first ever women's TLC match. That point was never hammered home of being like, this is happening, you must enjoy this, you must think we're progressive, you must think we're great. It was just, they mentioned it probably twice. But Paige didn't announce, like, in the first ever. She's like, no, you're having a TLC match. And then later on, they were like, that's the first ever one. That's a much more organic way of doing that.
Give it time. Give it time. But then we get, speaking of organic, then we got the most seamless, non-cardboard, non-stage-looking interruption where Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, weren't you guys feuding, the Iconics, and Zelina Vega... When was she part of this merry band of heels? Just walk out. Vegas, she's a business manager. She's Andrade's business manager.
Not on the main roster.
Oh, my God.
She is an active part of the roster.
Good grief. But they come out and they say, hey, you can't just book Charlotte and Becky forever, like, which is what they have done and they did with Charlotte and Sasha Banks a couple of years ago. So one of us wants a shot. And Paige says, you know, you're just giving your PCB teammates... things because yeah. Paige, Charlotte, and Becky were a part of that original group, and I thought
those glory years.
Forgot that happened. I don't want to be reminded of that.
I forget it happens every time until someone mentions it, and they go like, "Oh, Team PCB or Team Bad," and I go like, "Oh God, yeah, that is how they all debuted, and that was awful, wasn't it?" Stephanie McMahon playing with her action figures and putting them into factions. Awful, awful way to debut characters.
Do you think Triple H came over and was like, you want some factions? That's what you want.
It's just passing logos across.
Yeah, I'll draw a logo for them. Look, PCB.
It's got a skull on it.
Team Bad.
Team Bad was probably the worst name.
But then the baby faces come out. It's all the women standing in a row, perfect line. Naomi, Asuka, Carmella, and Lana. Naomi's on the mic here, but the crowd don't care. Just like the previous week, just like the week before that, when Becky looked at all the women to replace her against Ronda Rousey at Survivor Series, everyone was chanting for Asuka. She is still over.
It's remarkable. Considering the effort WWE have gone to this year to make Asuka feel unspecial, it is incredible that the crowd can still get behind her. I'm so happy about it.
Same here. But it's not forever because everyone was behind Bayley. I would say a year and a half after her call up, even though she was being booked awfully, and now there's nothing.
Well, you were talking about the Manchester show, and like, and she wasn't even getting the... I mean, there was probably a smattering, but not the way that the whole arena used to do it.
So Paige on scene, the rest of the women's division out there. She you know what's coming. But she starts banging on about fire. And, oh, I'm so glad. This is the sort of fire I want to see from my women's division. And I just thought, stop saying that. It's such a patronising way to... Like, it just implies, oh, so you're not, you know, you don't care about anything the rest of the time.
Mm.
I just, they keep on saying this, like, Stephanie McMahon's like, I want you to show the fire. Like, no, let's just assume that they always want to wrestle and they're always competitive. So that's by the by. Anyway, this whole bit was lame. But then Paige said there's going to be a battle royal later on with the winner getting added to the TLC match with Charlotte and Becky as a triple threat. And I'm like, okay, that's even more than I wanted. And I'm looking at this cast of characters. I mean, it's got to be Asuka, right? An Asuka Charlotte Becky Lynch match at TLC. Mate, I am suddenly so excited about that pay-per-view.
Mate, as I said in the review, like, I know you've had your some nitpicks to point out there, but for me, I thought this was an absolute home run segment. Because
it wasn't.
I thought this was a home run segment.
Not with all those women coming out.
Well... As I said, aside from like staging issues, nitpicking aside,
that wasn't nitpicking.
That's not, well,
that was that was rubbish.
Well, it is, but it's nitpicking, right?
It's like, not a home run. It's like you got a couple of bases,
three quarters of the way around.
Yeah.
But I would say that this segment had three goals in mind, which was number one, let's bring Becky back and make her look great. Number two, let it establish. Oh no, actually, they made four things then. Establish the heel face dynamic between Flair and Lynch, which I think was a tick.
Well, we're disagreeing we're on that point, so that was obviously a fail.
Give the main event some stakes, and add a brand new face into the title picture.
Mm.
And not only that, add possible multiple faces within the championship picture because the entire women's roster was fighting for a spot. I thought it was a really successful segment in terms of what it set out to do.
Certainly was a successful segment, but not a home run.
I thought it was a home run.
Mm. So this all
so negative. So negative all the time.
I'm not going to say something was absolutely... When I hear home run, I hear absolutely perfect. But you had... Just ridiculous heel and
you're
baby
face.
You're
never going to fix that in WWE because that's how they do things.
They've had perfect segments before.
Yes, and even in those perfect segments, I could imagine you could probably look at the direction that Kevin Dunn has done or the Devin Dunn has done or the way that people are staged. Because no matter how you're going to look at WWE, everyone is always standing in a line. So it's always going to look fake and phony.
Festival of Friendship.
Still standing in a line.
No. Nope.
Just there's two
it's
of
just
them.
Just two people. That's normal. and the camera work on that is superb because they do the reveal. You see it's the list of Owens. Oh. Anyway, the Women's Battle Royal was the main event of the show, rightly. And I've written here, this is definitely the most progressive year for women in WWE. Undoubtedly, like it's so far ahead. But at the same time, how have there been so many Battle Royals? Which is like... Usually the sign that a division is not being booked right because it's just such a lazy thing, chuck them all in there.
Yeah, this is our fourth one if you include the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
As a way to determine a new number one contender. Although Naomi got nothing out of winning her. She got that trophy that's never been seen since. At the Angel Mania.
Yeah, but Shane's trophy.
That's
coming
that,
everywhere.
That sticks around.
So Asuka gets by far again the biggest cheer in the entrances. I'm hopeful. I was really invested in this match. And it was a pretty decent match as well. Everyone got entrances apart from the Vega, the Iconics, and DeVille, I think.
No, DeVille got one. And Iconics got one.
Did they?
Yeah. Actually, and Vega got one as well.
Oh,
they all got entrances.
I just didn't see that for some reason then. Vega's the first person out because she's a business manager.
Not on this roster.
Then the Asuka just starts going against people. She eliminates the Iconics. Then she gets rid of Carmella. And then it comes down to Asuka, Naomi, Rose, and DeVille. So you've got these two tag teams.
Yeah. There was a really funny moment. There were two weird moments for me in this. Second one's not as weird. But there was a point when, like, Vega gets eliminated, and then she starts attacking Lana before they go to the break, like, outside, as if, like, oh, man, and, like, she's now beating down Lana. We're starting a storyline. Come back from break, Lana's just in the ring, and everything's fine. And it's never brought up again. So... Perhaps they're going to lead to an Andrade Rusev thing, but
again,
Rusev's kind of tied up already with Shinsuke Nakamura by the looks of things. Maybe another triple threat, perhaps. But either way.
Maybe Vega's going to recruit more clients and then wrestle.
That's the way you get people over.
Yeah, that's the most effective thing to do for managers. That and peeing on robes, I think.
But a bit that really made me laugh in this was they had like a moment when Asuka was beating up the Iconics and like Peyton Royce, and she was eliminating both of them. And Todd Phillips goes like, oh, brings back memories of her feud and the run-ins they've had with the Iconics at Super Showdown. And I was like, I completely forgot about that. 100% forgot that they were, quote, feuding earlier. Like, not even earlier this year. Last month.
Yeah, well, it was a nothing thing. So it comes down to those two tag teams. And Rose catches Naomi in a Hurricane Rana. Naomi catches Rose in a Hurricane Rana, but Mandy Rose stops it. And I think this was meant to be like oh, wow, look how strong Mandy is. And she kind of deadlifts her up to do a powerbomb to the outside. It was super sloppy, though, and it didn't look impressive.
I thought it looked cool.
I didn't think it looked good at all. And then Naomi and Rose take each other out with that spot, and it's down to Deville and Asuka. And they're like low-key always giving Deville these spots, so I hope they see something in her.
Well, I'm guessing so as well, because we figured that they were protecting her at Super Showdown, at Survivor Series, by her being eliminated by being counted out. Like, her and Bayley both got counted out as a way to, like, well, neither of them got pinned, so we can protect them. But then they just pinned her last week on SmackDown. But, again, I don't think that show counted. I don't think it's part of canon, so
yeah.
we can just ignore that.
Yeah, it's weird, like, you would think Mandy Rose, and I think if in their perfect world, Mandy Rose would be the star here, but Sonya Deville is so much better in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this was very tense because I was, as much as I liked Deville, I was so invested in Asuka winning. And I thought, oh, maybe they are kind of giving Deville a weird push, so maybe they're going to go with her.
Particularly when Mandy Rose got up and started, like, despite the fact that they were feuding, guess that's been dropped, tried to trip Asuka off the apron. And it really genuinely was some very good tension on this. It was essentially a repeat of the end of the Royal Rumble with Asuka versus the Bellas, but hey, that worked at the Rumble, and it worked here as well.
Yeah, so the tense showdown on the apron, each woman teasing, falling off, and then eventually Asuka knocks her off. It's Asuka going in this triple threat. Charlotte and Becky were watching at ringside, by the way, and Asuka poses on the turnbuckle, staring them both down. So, so cool. And I said to my lady partner after watching this morning, it is so, so nice to genuinely be invested in WWE women's wrestling rather than, ah, bless, they're trying. Which, to be honest, like all these crappy feuds based around who's friends with who, or as great as they are on promos, Carmella and Alexa Bliss are not good wrestlers, or Nia Jax as well. So you're watching these things, you're like, I really want to be into this, but there's such a talent gap between you and the men's wrestling. Not with these three women. I'm proud now to be a fan of this, and I don't have to say it with any caveats. And it is the best thing going in WWE right now. They've genuinely positioned women's wrestling as their main event. And it's not like, oh, it's the main event because it's women's wrestling anymore, because they're shoehorning it in for progression.
PR.
It's because this is genuinely the hottest, best-booked feud, which is a big money main event match. If this was the old days and we bought the pay-per-view, I would buy this pay-per-view based on that match alone. It's a draw, and that's what you want. Congratulations, SmackDown.
Yeah, I mean, I said this in the review. I feel like this match would have been a big deal months ago, before they completely flattened Asuka out, but credit to WWE, credit to SmackDown in particular. This whole match was designed to make Asuka look impressive. Asuka got most of the eliminations. She was the woman that was fighting against the odds at the end. She was the one that won the whole thing. She practically eliminated the entire of the Battle Royal participants. This whole match was designed to put Asuka over and make her look dominant again, and try and make you forget that awful Carmella feud in the summer. Good Lord. Talk about, like, flattening someone out. Because I don't know why WWE decided to do this, but they decided, we just think Asuka's rubbish, so we're just going to make her look like a complete chump for the majority of the year, and then we're just going to put her into a pointless tag team with Naomi with nothing fuse. And all of that was undone in this one outing. Just this one thing was a good reset button, a rebuilding of Asuka to make her seem like a big deal again. And it's through this match and the way that she won and the way the match was presented, I come out there going like, yes, finally, I really want to see this match now. But if they, if they'd have just announced Asuka was in it, I don't think I'd have been as into the idea of the match.
Yeah, completely agree. So to answer the question, 23 minutes in, what, like, can this rebuild Asuka? Definitely so. And I could potentially see an outcome. It depends on the build over the next few weeks. Where Asuka wins the title.
Second eye, yeah.
And because Charlotte and Becky sort of cancel each other out. And then you build into the Royal Rumble, where one of them can feud with Asuka over the SmackDown title, and the other can enter the Rumble tournament and then set up that Ronda Rousey match for Mania.
Exactly.
Yeah, tremendously exciting stuff.
And I've seen a few people online, people have tweeted me, I've seen it on the Discord channel as well, being a little bit upset about Asuka being in this match, because they foresee this as, oh, Asuka's just there to take the pinfall. Forgetting it's a TLC match, there are no pinfalls. There's a title hanging above the ring, so she's not going to get pinned.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
It's time to give a shout out to our $25 plus pledge hammers on Patreon. So thank you, Caught in a Travis Webb.
Yes.
Woo, cheap pop.
We're going on a Brian Huntley.
Yes.
Yes, Brian.
Charlie, drink it in. Z-Man.
Nice. Oh,
good delivery.
Daring Danny Richard. Danny Richardson. Yes. Yeah. Got there by the end.
What you talking about? Jerry Willis.
Oh, it's an old joke. It's different strokes.
King George Phillips. I've doubled it up.
We met him at the Prince Charles. Lovely fella. Joking Joshua Selig. Yes. Yeah. And I'm going to do the next one as well. Mo Space, Mo Problems. Lovely stuff.
Noah the Ark Trombley.
Oh.
Get two of every kind in that guy.
Absolutely. There can only be one. Our legend. It's a Highlander joke. It's a Highlander joke.
Robert Spencer. Period.
You're getting there. You're almost.
It's a weird TNA reference that I only just became familiar with.
Harder than its bite, Sean Barksdale.
It's a dog thing.
Dog thing.
The incredible Jorge Henriquez.
Oh, I love your dear delivery. So good. Duo XM, Michael Sands.
Yeah.
Don't know what it means. No idea.
Kenneth Houston. We have a problem.
Oh, WrestleMania X7. Yes, nice.
If you want to get your name shouted out here and a host of other Patreon rewards, including exclusive podcasts. We're going to be doing our Ramble Club, which is the top 5 matches of the month later in the week. And we just had the Wrestle Ramble Extra review of NXT TakeOver Toronto.
Speaking of
a fantastic show.
Speaking of Asuka being over.
She fought Mickie James on that event. You can go over there and get all that for $5 to $10. Check it out. There's loads of rewards. After the alleged home run of an opening segment, we got the Usos having a little promo backstage. Awesome. I love it. It was just like, we're up next, guys. That was the crux of this.
Yeah.
But they're in the background. They've got their weird backstage environment. The camera's different.
I just feel like we're burying the lead here. There's a much bigger story to talk about.
Oh, and then there was this little thing shot earlier in the day. Must have been a WWE.com exclusive, or whatever they say, where Cesaro, Sheamus, and The Big Show are kind of arguing in a locker room, and Big Show just punches Cesaro in the jaw.
Clearly not a proper punch, though, because he didn't knock him out.
Just a tap.
Just like a little love tap.
Not like kid.
Yeah, no, he punched him in the face, and then Sheamus said, "You're not on the team anymore." And I said this in the review. What was the point of this trio again? Like, why were they put together?
Well, you see, it's actually really fitting for Big Show's character because he turned heel by aligning with them three weeks ago on SmackDown 1000, maybe four.
Maybe four, yeah.
And he's already turned face again.
Well, I suppose so, yeah.
So that's... They should have known. Mm-hmm. They should have known. Unless they're willing to turn and flip-flop with Big Show, it's not going to work. It's not going to be a long-lasting partnership. So, yeah,
I think now we're either at 39 or 40 turns for the Big Show since he debuted in WWE back in 99. So, yeah, 40 in 20 years.
He's coming up to 20 years.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll get to that Jeff Hardy thing, but that is an incorrect number.
Is it really? Yeah, because he had like a dark match.
No, he was signed in 94. He had his first match in 1994 against Razor Ramon.
So, yes, this was the Bar and the Big Show, never a coherent act. The reason that the Bar won the titles, you could argue, at SmackDown 1000, where they beat the New Day, is now broken up in a backstage segment taped earlier in the day.
Yep.
Baffling.
It really was. Really weird.
I mean, I don't like it because it's a waste, but I'm so uninvested in it. I don't care.
No.
So it hasn't like harmed my enjoyment of this show. No. I was just like, who gives a crap?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess they're split up then. Cool.
Yeah, so that's why Big Show isn't out there for the Usos Bar match and Cesaro's selling his jaw. And they have a decent match.
I thought it was a really good TV match, actually. Yeah. I thought it was some really good frenetic action. I thought the story of this match was Cesaro uppercutting Jimmy Uso jumping out of the air. Like, that was the story they were telling. Yeah. Anytime he tried to dive, there was Cesaro to be like, nope, uppercut, mate.
And it's always impressive.
It's always great. He could have done it five more times, and I'd be like, that's brilliant.
I thought, so those were very impressive, but I really... really liked the near fall sequence near the end.
Yeah.
Because I guess the tag division have done a really good job of setting up roll-ups as actual finishes. Mm-hmm. So I bought into a lot of the finishes that were happening, so it just made me pop even higher. And then the Usos got the splash for a non-roll-up win.
Yeah, which essentially sets them up now as new number one contenders to the tag titles. Once again, that reset button, we're going to start something afresh. I think they may have mentioned that the Usos were the sole survivors at Survivor Series in that sometimes canon, not always canon match.
I think that the Usos and the Bar have better chemistry than the Bar and the New Day.
It might be because it's a match we've seen less, because we saw New Day and the Bar a lot on Raw when they were feuding a couple of years ago, and then we've seen them do it a lot on SmackDown as well. So it almost feels like a fresher match.
Potentially. But it's not like we didn't see the Usos New Day enough. Like, and that never got old.
Mm-hmm,
I've got higher hopes, higher in-ring hopes for this feud if it carries on. Although I'm not a fan of the challengers beating the champions to get a title shot. It's just like, why now? Why do I now want to see that match?
Well, you've already maybe. I mean, if they're going to take a leaf out of Raw's book, maybe next week Big Show can take one of the Usos' hats backstage and urinate into it.
Or Naomi.
Because Bobby Roode and Chad Gable, they beat AOP to earn that title shot. Maybe. Take a leaf out of their book.
So, what was the point of the Big Show really there? And I guess I don't know if they're telling the story that the Bar are no good without Show, or if it's because Cesaro was selling the jaw.
I don't know.
It's not very good. What was very funny, though, speaking of the New Day, backstage, it cuts to the New Day laughing at their phone, and The Miz walks in and goes... we're just watching your greatest role ever. And Miz says, you're talking about the Marine Six.
Yes, because you're all mariners.
Yeah, and then Xavier has the line of the segment, no, we're not watching Marine Six starring Becky Lynch. Just like everyone's getting over that it's not the Marine Six starring The Miz.
Yeah.
It's the Marine Six starring Becky Lynch. I love that running gag. And Xavier delivered it perfectly. And he said, no, we're watching your match from last week. And
where he got beat by, was it Wayne, Dane, Bane, Kairi Sane?
Big E getting a picture, like running through those names, and then gets a picture of Kairi Sane out. And then just tucks her. This was good. This was great New Day.
This was great. Not only that, but like Xavier Woods singing "The Flame Returns," which was a Slow Chemical, Kane's old theme song, because they mentioned Kane in the list of people that might have beaten them, which I popped for because it's one of my favorite entrance theme songs ever. And Miz essentially said the New Day are being idiots, and like me and Shane were out there fighting for our lives. You two are just out acting like idiots backstage. And then he says he's going to go speak to Shane and set up a match for later on. And then Big E accidentally reveals that he is a Mariner and essentially walks away doing this. No!
Yeah, he starts to, like, Kofi's like, what's wrong with the Miz? And Big E goes, well, you know, Jake Carter from this, he's...
Well remembered, I was going to call him Shane Huntley.
Yeah, something like that. I think we should review Marine 6 as a Patreon treat for Christmas.
I think, that sounds like a good little Christmas gift, yeah.
I think we should watch it, record ourselves watching it. Which might be pretty boring, because when I watch films, I don't want to talk.
I was going to say, I'm very much a silence man. And if we're going to talk, to pause, tell me what you have to say, then we'll resume watching.
Make those even longer, those sorts of podcasts. After that, we got AJ Styles. He's backstage first, and I like this. He's like backstage, just sitting on a chair, being intense and broody. And then a producer comes over and says, it's time.
Yeah,
and AJ stands up and comes out wearing a different color scheme, sort of a luminous green with black. I got a Transformers 80s color scheme vibe off this.
Oh yeah,
can't remember which Transformer it is.
I was gonna say, because if it was green, it would be green and purple, because it'd be like the Destructicons. Oh, the Constructicons rather, not Destructicons. Idiot.
Okay, you know more.
Then from Devastator. This was so AJ then came out to cut a promo on Daniel Bryan, and I kind of got mixed feelings about this. Mm-hmm. But it was a good promo from AJ.
Yeah,
the video packages were very stilted within there, because essentially...
Here's
like
what happened last.
Well, he didn't even say that. He essentially said, I lost the title. Then would pause so they could play a video package. And then said, and then Daniel Bryan had some things to say. Pause, video package. Very staged, very stilted. But the content was quite good. And he kind of says that Bryan's taking a leaf out of Raw's playbook by having a champion that doesn't show up. Whereas I'm here and I always show up. I'm always at the pay-per-views, this, that, and the other. And I thought some of the content was very good here. However, if I was booking the show, if it were me in charge, I'd have had AJ win a squash match just against like local enhancement talent and then cut the promo. Just win it 20 seconds, not even that. Just completely tap the guy out with the calf crusher and then put over the guy's like, hey, look, I'm here. I'm wrestling this week. Just put over the edit. Oh, not only that, but it gets some back... gets back some of the heat that he's lost since losing the championship, and he hasn't been seen since Survivor Series. I thought that might have been a more effective way than him just coming out, saying some words, then leaving.
Yeah, I agree, actually. That would have been much better. Although, I like there was a good line about, I held the title for 371 days, but the last 14 without it have been the longest of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
That was good.
Yeah, some good content in there.
But, he said, like, the reason I wasn't at Survivor Series or at SmackDown last week was because I wasn't medically cleared. And but it's not like you're wrestling right now. I thought that was a lazy explanation, especially after he'd just said how he was there all the time.
Yeah.
But AJ said he'll get his title back against Bryan at TLC. It was nothing... extraordinary, but it was a solid segment. So Bryan's had a promo, AJ's had a promo. The last thing we want is what happened over the summer, where they book these feuds backwards, and this would be the go home segment. Yeah. So hopefully they've got some exciting stuff coming in the next few weeks.
Here's hoping.
Lance Sullivan again,
coming
still
soon.
A free agent.
Yep, hottest free agents.
I thought they would have changed up the promo by now. It's the exact same video.
But
package.
When one's as good as this, like, do you need to have another one?
It's not the best video package I've ever seen.
It's probably the best you're going to get. Like, he's had X amount of matches that they've got footage of. In fact, they've probably got every bit of footage from every last Sullivan match he's had on NXT in that video package.
I'm just trying to, like, think of... Well, then make some more character-based stuff. I don't really know how you would visually display that, but just think of how impactful those Wyatt family vignettes were before they debuted. Those were great, and those were a little bit different every time. Who cares?
Well, but you've got to remember as well, the story is that apparently these were meant to start airing at TLC, but they're airing them early, which means they only plan to probably show it once, maybe twice. So instead, Vince is like, no, put it on now, pal, it's great. So now we're getting it all the time, all the goddang time.
Because this was a bit of... This isn't a SmackDown thing, so no one knows what's happening.
Nope.
Corey's like, oh, I really hope we get him on SmackDown. And I was like,
You're raw.
Too. And then he said, Shane McMahon's really got to push to get them. I'm like, why can't this be Paige's job? She's the general manager.
Yeah, but Shane's the commissioner.
Okay, next up, we got Shinsuke Nakamura. He came down for a match against Rusev. Rusev makes an entrance. God, just like how far has Rusev fallen from... It's great to see him out there, but all of that Rusev Day breakup stuff led to diddly squat.
I know, they had that match. They had that 90-second match on that SmackDown episode that everyone's forgotten. Where's Aiden English been since then, by the way?
Everything we said... Well, probably on the planned future endeavours list, I'd imagine.
What a shame.
It's just... Yeah, like, all of that... They were the most overact in the company at the start of this year. And they... What was the point of breaking them up?
Mm-hmm.
Because
what was the point of putting the Big Show with the bar?
Yeah, so it's a shame. But at least... There's the glimmers of a storyline here. Rusev comes out and Nakamura attacks him with a knee and then hits another, which is more of a Kinshasa outside. And yeah. So Nakamura gets out of his US title match.
Exactly. So I said this in the review. I got the party poppers out for it. Some thought it might not happen, but Shinsuke Nakamura has a storyline.
Yeah.
Mate, it's taken them nearly 4 months, but they finally found something for the United States champion to do. It's hard. I get it. It's hard to find your champion something to do on a wrestling show. But hey, man, they've worked really hard. And finally, I think they might have found something for him. You know, well done. Well done, guys.
We'll have to wait because maybe he just doesn't show up next week. Like, I didn't... This... Usually, I would say this is a Nakamura-Rusev feud, which is a pretty decent US title thing. They haven't done anything to build up either guy.
They had a match at Crown Jewel.
Did they?
Yeah, that was the kickoff show, remember? They had that match.
Oh, of course.
It was a United States Championship match, no less.
Well, that's probably why I'm pretty unenthused about this. But yeah, just maybe Nakamura will have a match with someone else next week, Rey Mysterio, and he'll also get out of that. And that's what you're telling me.
I've just got... I don't know. This feels like it's a storyline. I'm trying to like clamber onto anything I can. Oh my God, this almost feels like something.
So Nakamura, United States champion, hasn't had a storyline in 4 months. Jeff Hardy, the man he beat for that title, is just getting everything, it seems. This was promoted throughout the show. After every segment, there was a video package. Jeff Hardy has been in WWE for 20 years.
24 years.
This is his 20th anniversary.
His 24th anniversary.
So we're going to have a celebration of Jeff. And I was like... Okay, so this is an angle. Like, this has come out of nowhere.
I thought it was a retirement thing.
Like, no, I never got that.
Okay, I mean, people might say that I'm being pedantic when I'm saying that he debuted in 94, because he was, but technically you could say that the Jeff Hardy character debuted in 1998 when the Hardy Boys first started to get some actual TV time and were pushed as an act. So that's fine. But this, I thought this was almost a retirement thing, because, like, Michael Cole was there. And I was like, why is Michael Cole there? Michael Cole, and they're standing, got like pictures of Hardy behind him. And he's like, charismatic Ingham and Jeff Hardy. Then he Thanos'd away, and Jeff Hardy came out. The entire SmackDown roster, by the way, is standing on stage, heel and faces alike, breaking kayfabe. The Iconics are there applauding Jeff Hardy. Why? And then Jeff comes down to the ring, not wearing the face paint. It's just being Jeff. He makes some off-the-cuff remarks. He gets an off-the-cuff delete thing. He's like, oh, you can probably edit that out. It's live, mate. And then, like, it's just... And then he says...
He thinks it's SmackDown from 10 years ago.
And the Scooby-Doo, mate. He doesn't know what he's doing. And then he just says, this isn't a retirement speech, by the way. And that was like, oh, okay, so now it's an angle. No, okay, now I know that I'm waiting for someone to come out and be his next challenger.
I had an opposite journey. I thought, going in, when it was advertised, I thought, well, this is an angle. It will probably be a Miz TV segment somehow. And then, as the thing started, with Michael Cole there, who, you know, just randomly introduced it, the pictures, the promo package.
Oh, the package was great.
Yeah, really good. It was even a bit of CM Punk in there from that great Swanton Bomb off the really tall ladder. The whole roster was out there. Shane McMahon, of course, at the front and centre. And
best in the world.
I was like, huh, maybe this is just a nice segment where they're just celebrating Jeff. And I started to think to myself, I wish WWE did this more. You do celebrate your history in a more organic way rather than a shove it down your throat way thing. And then you do like a few months of those, not every week, but you know, when there's something to celebrate. So like once a year when you do one of those and it does turn into an angle, boom. Mm. It feels like a big deal. It comes out of nowhere and it's all the more brilliant because of it. But no, they just did the angle here. That was not what they were doing. Yeah. I had like the, what was the pay-per-view we watched? It was
Bad Blood.
Bad Blood. And they did the St. Louis
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. And we were just like, where's the angle coming? Oh, no, it was just a really nice celebration of St. Louis wrestling.
It was just lovely. St. Louis. Yeah.
St. Louis. St. Louis?
Could be. I mean, we're not Americans. We don't know.
St. Louis.
Maybe I'm thinking of, because there's that bit where Edge and Christian called it Louisville. Yeah. And Jim Ross is going, it's Louisville. Maybe that's what I'm getting confused with.
I don't
with.
Know what I'm talking about. I'm sure everyone has already corrected us.
It was probably an American football thing.
But yeah, you know, it was an angle after all the nice stuff. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it would have been better if these things weren't so transparently an angle from the start. Samoa Joe comes out.
I thought this was so cool.
It was wicked.
It was awesome because, like, so Jeff's in the ring and he's doing his promo. And my note says, this is lovely. Because
he says, thank you for, I've had my tough times.
Yeah.
Thanks for sticking with me. And I'm not the biggest Jeff Hardy fan. And I was with him. I was behind him here.
That video package made me... It was like, that's why I love Jeff Hardy. Like, this company has made me forget by just putting him in pants feuds and that. But, like, they have made me remember why I was a massive Jeff Hardy mark.
And not one single person said, Randy Orton brutalized him. Hell in a cell. How's he even out there?
How's he even walking? And then Joe's music hits. And you can almost feel, like, the mood change on the ramp. And a few people turn around and go, like, oh, God. I can't believe this. And Shane, credit to Shane, I thought he was really great in this segment. Was just like walking up, being like, "Look, dude, now's not the time. Like, you're bang out of order for doing this." And Jeff's like, "No, let him say, let him talk." And so Shane's like, "Okay, I'll let you talk." And then Joe cuts this great promo where he's like,
"So good."
He's like, "Oh, Jeff, I was sorry, I'm late. I was popping champagne backstage for a drink, but." Yeah, maybe I shouldn't really be doing that with you. Like, maybe. And he starts talking about like making fun. Not making fun, not saying, like, you're an alcoholic. Just making these overt references to Jeff Hardy's demons without ever saying, by the way, you're an alcoholic and you've ruined your life on several occasions because of it. It was a beautifully written promo and an incredibly performed promo from Samoa Joe. I thought it was awesome here.
I think beautiful is the wrong word. I would say vicious. It was such a vicious promo.
Beautifully vicious.
Though. Yeah. There was another really the champagne bottle line was really great, but I enjoyed the bit where he said that video package was really good. All those memories. I mean, you probably don't even remember them
because you weren't coherent enough.
Yeah, and then he just starts going on. How about I'm Samoa Joe? I don't celebrate weakness.
Yes,
and that's what you are. You're weak. I've got a one step program for you, Jeff.
Yeah,
it doesn't say. It just says anytime. And, it was brilliant. My one step program is I'll retire you. Yeah. I just thought it, and it's real quick, he says. Really, really good. And he even said, and there will be another time in reference to Jeff screwing up again.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, this isn't behind you. You're weak.
Yeah.
Your demons are with you forever.
That's it. Yeah.
You will screw up again.
Demons are always in the back of your head just waiting to show their faces again. And then Jeff Hardy, the valiant baby face, was just like, well, come in the ring then. Show me what you've got. Let's have a fight. Mm. And Joe starts walking to the ring and then she's like, nah. Because he doesn't need to. He's made his point. He set out what he wanted to do in that segment, and he walked to the back. I thought it was a wicked segment.
Yep.
I thought it was really, really cool. And I was thinking about this a lot while I was watching SmackDown, especially compared to Raw this week and Raw last week. I was like, why am I enjoying this show so much more? And it's because none of the baby faces feel like idiots. Mm. And the show isn't all about heat.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good point.
Yeah. The show, like, there's only really a handful of segments on this where the heels were getting heat. But then there were times when the baby faces were getting baby face wins. The baby face won at the end of the show. Randy Orton got his heat. But during that, Ray got... He had a good comeback during that. And the show wasn't about building heat. It was about just everyone being great. I thought it was a really successful show in that sense.
I'd say Nakamura and Orton were the only two bits. And I'd say that's about a quarter of the show. God, yeah, I didn't even think of that. That is a really marked difference. And it's, feuds that are very interesting and I want to see happen.
Yeah.
Asuka, Becky Lynch, Charlotte, Jeff Hardy, Samoa Joe.
You're interested in a Jeff Hardy feud. Look at that.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. AJ Styles and The Miz.
Ooh, sorry, Jeffrey.
AJ Styles and... Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So very, very good.
It's funny as well. Like, so in our new office block, we someone from one of the offices came down to us. They were a wrestling fan. They were talking about like our favorite matches and this and that. We just got chatting, and we asked him what his favorite match was. And he talked about when he was a kid and he saw Bret Hart versus Big Boss Man at King of the Ring, and he, as a kid, cried. He said because like it was the good guy's journey and the good guy won. And that was when I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, people like watching good people win in wrestling. Like that's sometimes what we just really like when we're watching wrestling. It's not for the baddies to always win.
Yeah, I thought, yeah, that's, I thought the same thing when he was talking to us. The, and that's not to say that heel heat is bad.
Absolutely
it's
not.
Just like, it is so one-sided on Raw at the moment. It's it's actually unwatchable.
Yeah.
That's not just us being negative. That is the majority consensus of Monday Night Raw since Survivor Series. Next up, we got the payoff to that New Day Miz segment earlier on. Kofi Kingston took on The Miz. 2008 wants its match back.
I thought it was, I said this in the review, solid paint by numbers wrestling. Like, nothing too flashy, nothing bad. It was there, it served its purpose, they did their stuff, they got out of there.
Well, but like, did it serve its purpose? Because I'm...
Yeah, it furthers the Miz-Shane McMahon feud.
I guess, yeah, because Shane didn't come out to help Miz at any point of this, and... Another thing, so Kofi Kingston won here, another example of the baby faces eventually getting the better of the heels, because like Miz took out Xavier with the trumpet on the outside.
Miz essentially distracted himself.
Yeah, and but Miz like exposed the turnbuckle to throw Kofi into, but Big E put some pancakes in front of the turnbuckle. I don't know why that made me laugh so much. We're always about like a New Day annoying, or are they very funny? And this week, definitely very funny. I loved everything they did.
Yeah.
And yeah, Miz even brought a chair in the ring to win the match, but Xavier pulled that back. Kofi hit the Trouble in Paradise for the win. Sorry about the drilling that's going on in the background. But yeah, this was fine, but is Miz a face or a heel? I thought he was turning face. This was definitely cheating.
Like I thought with Charlotte, I thought he was very much a heel in this segment here. And when he was meeting Shane backstage, he was a heel there as well, because he was whinging to Shane that you weren't out there to be my tag team partner. Whereas Shane, the babyface, reminded him, we're not a tag team. Like, Miz is the delusional one here, not Shane. So... I know that the story is, well, the reported story is that Shane is the one that's turning heel and Miz is turning babyface. If that's the story they're telling, they're doing a piss poor job of it.
That's it, yeah. So, and even if Miz is meant to be, it's a slow term for Miz, where he's still got these heelish tendencies and becomes a good guy in the end. I don't think that story's being told very well either.
No.
So, and it's not like Shane and Miz... I don't care.
No, absolutely not. Of all the things on SmackDown Live, it's the one I'm least in. Actually, no, the Randy Orton Rey Mysterio thing. But I'm less interested in Miz versus Shane than I am Rey versus Randy.
I had an observation in this match.
Oh yeah.
Do you think WWE look at the New Day and how the New Day? Oh, you know, it was essentially a 3-on-1 advantage here against the Miz, but it was more of Xavier and Big E were just out there to make sure Miz didn't cheat. Do you think WWE look at that and go, well, Lucha House Party are a three-man group. That everyone likes New Day.
They've got a trumpet. They've got a pinata. Ugh. Oh, they're basically the same thing.
It's not a backward psychological advantage to have a 3-on-2 handicap match with Lucha House rules.
Someone tweeted us yesterday, because I was making fun on Twitter at the Renee and Michael Cole being really upset that Alexa Bliss is a general manager, even though she's an active part of the roster, even though Baron Corbin is, and they seem to think that's fine. And this person tweeting back to me was like, yeah, but Michael Cole and Renee also seem to think it's fine that Lucha House Party have a 3-on-2 advantage, but yet when Baron Corbin does it in the main event, it's a dastardly thing to do.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, great point.
And the last proper segment was Randy Orton coming out. He came out with Rey's mask that he stole in the main event of last week.
Yeah.
Remember that? Orton Mysterio was a main event last week.
Yeah.
And
12 years ago.
He just sort of, had a few words.
This was a boring promo.
Yeah.
This was a very, very boring, boring promo.
It was boring, and I think it was made worse by, I think, in-ring promo segments with wrestlers explaining their actions want a show a minimum. If that, like, sorry, maximum. Like, one per show is your quota and you don't have to use it. I would prefer you not use it and have something more engaging. So to have this promo and the AJ promo earlier on, it was a bit like...
I don't need two guys
who aren't great promos cutting promos.
Well, I would disagree with that because I think they're not
next level promos.
No, but I think they're good promos. I just think Randy had a really boring promo here. I thought AJ's promo was actually really good earlier.
I still think he's an average promo grander scheme of promos of all time.
But I would never say he's a bad promo.
No, but I didn't say it was a bad promo.
What did you say then?
I said he was just a normal promo.
Oh, I thought you said he was a bad promo. No. My mistake.
If I did, I didn't mean it. Because, we can't go back and...
It's hyperbole. That's what we do here. But I thought the brawl, actually, between Randy and Ray was really cool. And I thought Ray had some really good fire, speaking of fire, behind him when he was doing his, 619s to various different parts of the body. I thought there was some really cool stuff in here. But eventually, Orton got the better of him because Ray's injured. He's had the neck brace on. He took the neck brace off, trying to rip at the mask again. And that's the other thing as well. It's like, Randy's sitting there going, ha-ha, I've destroyed the mask. Ray just comes out wearing another mask. It's like, so what's so cool about the one you've got there? He's got loads of them, mate. Just go to the merch store. There's plenty of them there. And Orton hits the draping DDT and uses the chair on the throat. So I'm guessing we're going to get a chairs match at TLC, which are
cool.
I mean, they're very silly matches. It's less silly than a stairs match, but but of the three or the four stipulations that you can have at TLC, it is the silliest one.
Yeah, because it was tables, ladders, chairs, and stairs.
And it was Big Show versus Eric Rowan in a stairs match. A stairs match, for God's sake.
I mean, as much as we don't like WWE this year.
Oh, man. I said this before, but everyone was like, that was one of the worst Raws in decades. I was like, mate, go back and watch some of those 2006 shows. Those are bad. Go back and watch Nitro in 1999 or 2000. That is truly, truly awful, awful wrestling.
Yeah.
I would much rather watch Raw from last night than watch a Nitro from 1999 because that is 3 hours of truly awful television.
And I'd prefer this week's Raw over any of the just awful John Cena years.
Yeah, or the DX years.
Not all
years.
Of it, but
absolutely.
That was just crushing.
That's
they were 2 hours.
Yeah.
Randy sort of stands tall. And the final segment, really, before the Women's Battle Royal main event, which we've already covered, was Shane McMahon backstage next to his World Cup trophy, texting. I thought, well, that's a bit of a heelish thing just to be standing next to it. Because he always said, I don't believe I'm the best, but here is my trophy in every segment I'm in. And Miz comes back and says, where were you, man? We're family. We are two... two parts of the best in the world.
We're two-thirds. We're co-besties.
Yeah. And the trophy is their child. So where were you for me? Start acting like it. And then Miz storms off and Shane's like,
Yeah. But Miz is the delusional one in that. I don't look at that and be like, God, Miz is right. Where was Shane?
Mm. Yeah. I'm not really into this storyline or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't find it engaging. And I'm worried because it's Shane. It'll get a lot more TV time, the more deserving feuds.
Well, I'm more worried. Less that it's going to get more TV time, more that they're going to wait till WrestleMania to pay it off. So if you think building for the next 3 weeks of Baron Corbin matches to build a TLC is bad, mate, wait till we're building Miz versus Shane McMahon for the next 4 to 5 months.
Well, overall, though, a pretty decent show, a really very enjoyable 2 hours. The wrestling was good. The Asuka being added to the main event of TLC has just completely transformed my excitement for the rest of the year, which I was really severely down on. And Samoa Joe cut an excellent promo. And the whole Jeff Hardy presentation was very good. I would give it a smacktastic, a 4 out of 5.
As did I. I thought it was a proper thumbs-up show. Mm. I thought it was a really good, as I said in the review and I've said here as well, good reset button pressing, just being like, look, last week's show was bad, it was confusing, we didn't really know what we were doing because clearly we changed our minds on what happened at Survivor Series 48 hours later because Shane still has not paid off on that things are going to change tweet. So... that last week, I feel, was we changed our plans and now we're just changing them again. So perhaps Charlotte Flair will be a completely different character next week as well and they'll just change the layout of this feud. But I guess we'll wait and see until then. Apart from that, thought it was a thumbs up show.
nice to be happy again.
Isn't it just, yeah.
Happy again. Is that a song?
Well, so happy together. It's the one from the Detective Pikachu trailer. I can't see me loving nobody but you.
Pikachu!
There's an absolutely awesome, like, industrial version of that song that's at the end of the Stepfather remake that came out about 10 or so years ago, which is a perfectly serviceable movie, but the song's excellent. It's a really, really good cover. That's completely by the by. Got this email in, and this was a bit of a strange one. I was wondering if you might be able to give me some clarity on this, because perhaps this is just something that completely flew past me. I'm not going to read out the emailer's name, just in case they don't want it read out, but it was... I'll just read this to you. Hey, Luke, Ollie, ... and Laurie. I'm the YouTuber who faked being Pac on Instagram. I don't know if you've seen the video I made on the situation, but just to cut it short, I never intended to go as far as it did. I'm also subscribed to you and have been for over a year now, so hopefully I didn't offend you. I've also emailed him before, but if you don't remember, Anyways, I love you, guy, and hope that you wasn't too fussed about the Pac situation. Love you, bye. Hashtag support WrestleTalk.
I felt for this guy. That's nice that he's got in touch, and I hope he's listening to this as well. So what happened last Thursday is Pac did a Instagram Q&A, and he answered like various questions. He said that he doesn't hate Enzo Amore. I don't hate the lad. He wrote or something like that, but you know, I think him beating me was a mistake. That he left WWE because he didn't like the way he was being booked. He said he can't say some things about Vince McMahon because he'd sue him four times or something like four times to hell. And a bunch of other stuff. Q&A. Wrestling Inc. ran with it. WrestleZone ran with it. We probably even published it on WrestleTalk.com. Turns out, though, Neville doesn't have Instagram.
Oh.
Neville posted that on Twitter himself saying, "Beware of fake imitators."
Good voice, mate. That's good.
But I did this in Monday's Super News, you see. And yeah, the big payoff is that this chap who they said, "Oh, sorry, this got way out of hand. It was just a fake Pac account that I made," which is weird. That we get this on YouTube a lot, like where people pretend to be Charlotte Flair. Or I block most of them because it's just weird.
Yeah.
And people,
because they talk about themselves in the first person as if they are Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, and people get annoyed with it because it's not like, it's just, I guess it's just there. So you get this weird endorphin rush because people are more likely to click the thumbs up button on your comment, but you're not that person. So it's a real fake, empty way of getting fulfillment.
Yeah.
And just such a weird, I'm not I don't hate it. Like, if, I kind of worry about you if that's how you get your kicks. Just an enormous amount of time to devote to something that's utterly pointless.
Yeah.
And that's what this chap did.
Burying him there.
No, but he seems like he's learned from his mistake. Because I was like, well, that's stupid that someone's done that. But then I'm more than familiar with doing something and then just feeling just horribly guilty about it. And you're like, why did I do this? And that seems to be what this person's done. They put up an apology statement like, "I'm so sorry. This just started as a little thing," which I imagine it did. But then everyone reported on the Q&A. But, you know, at the same time, you were impersonating someone online. But they have apologized. Hopefully they've learned from it. And it's all a bit stupid, isn't it?
It's a really weird story. Because I didn't know about this at all. So it was a really weird email to get, being like, "I was the guy that impersonated Pac on Instagram." Did work? Were you? Like, I didn't know that was a thing. Okay, well, thank you so much for clarifying that. Were you offended?
No, not at all. Like, what is there to be offended about?
I think that's just what he wanted to make sure that you were not offended.
It's just so stupid. I found it funny. but not funny like everyone should do it. I found it kind of pathetically funny. But I'm not offended. I can't remember the last time I was offended.
Well, let's have this agony arts request here. Oh, obviously from Vegan.
Survivor
Sorry.
Series.
Raw on Monday.
Raw the night off.
Yeah. Raw on Monday. I'm not entirely sure this counts, but here goes nothing. I work 13-hour days, 4 days a week. I go to work no matter if I'm. It's written here, belty or not, which maybe is. It's because there was dirt on my screen. Healthy or not. I have two kids though.
You're going to read everything perfect from now on. That little bit of dirt.
That's
up forever.
That's why the PowerPoint went wrong at the Prince Charles. I have two kids, though. I try to justify by saying I'm working for them, but at what point should I quit my job and get another one? P.S. The mother of my kids doesn't work. She stays at home. She's a stay-at-home mum. I've thought about quitting, but I also thought that would affect my kids, so I'm stuck in this rut, doing the same things, same routine every day. I'll take any advice you're willing to give.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I guess this chap is afflicted with something I think me and you both have, and that is essentially we're workaholics.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's a workaholic too. My sister is. But yeah, like if we're left to our own devices, we'll probably just start working.
Yeah.
I imagine. Like you'll work on a book or I'll just start doing emails and YouTube stuff. Even on like, you know, Sunday afternoons when you're meant to be hanging out with me, Ollie. I'm just channeling my lady partner.
Not talking about Red Dead Redemption, just screaming at you.
Yeah, well,
wash the horse, Ollie!
Thank God for video games, because that is like one of the only all-encompassing pieces of escapism.
For you to avoid your girlfriend.
Yeah. But the... Like, what was it that I read recently? That someone said, hey, maybe women retiring at 30,
mm-hmm.
like, maybe they're the ones who've got it right. Maybe focusing more time on your family and all that stuff, the stuff that everyone says on their deathbeds.
Mm-hmm.
That's their regret. Like, oh yeah, I wish I spent more time with my loved ones, with my family, with my kids, with my parents. Like, no one's there going, oh, I wish I worked harder. Like, you never hear that mm-hmm. on people's deathbeds.
Yeah.
So, especially if you've got kids, yeah, I would say... find a way to spend more time at home.
And, yeah, 30
I mean,
hour days.
You get three days off, though, which
yeah,
is
but,
nice.
Which is nice, but 13 hour days, that's a long, long time.
Yeah.
And I feel like you might be able to find more job satisfaction working perhaps the same amount of hours just spread out, and so you still get that quality time with the family, which I'd imagine is very, very important.
Yeah, because you'll go through a four-day stretch, I imagine, where you don't... See, I'd say like when, because my dad used to do shift work when I was a real youngster. And yeah, we wouldn't see him for, because he'll be sleeping in the day or whatever. So we just wouldn't see him for a week. And yeah, yeah, I do remember like not seeing my dad, and that was weird.
Mm-hmm.
But then he like, totally made up for it by just never going away.
It's calls you all the time.
It calls me all the time. I love you, Chappy. It's just, Dad, stop it.
Stop it. I'm at work. let's have this Poetry Corner submission. So you remember Gavin sent us that. The poem about the Roman Reigns main event, the WrestleMania 31.
Yeah, yeah, it was good.
So he has got another one for us here called Ignored. A relatable nerd from Long Island gets cheered even when he's not around, but he is ignored. A goat starts a one-word movement that goes viral, but he is ignored. A punk with an attitude speaks the truth as a voice for us, but he is ignored. A bleach blonde ragdoll loses and gets over, but he is ignored. A day in his name is made and the crowd fall in love, but he is ignored. Sooner or later, they were acknowledged, booked into oblivion. But why, we ask? Because WWE are always right. Get yourself over. Sorry. Night, night.
Boom. Mic drop.
Mic drop.
It was fun to figure out who each person was there. Of course, Daniel Bryan was the bleach blonde Dolph Ziggler.
I'm guessing that, yeah, Dolph Ziggler's probably that one, yeah.
Rusev, with Rusev Day, the name named after him.
CM Punk, the guy with the attitude. Relatable nerd from Long Island. Zack Ryder.
Zack Ryder, yeah.
Of course. Absolutely, of course it is.
So I've found a new... So poetry. I think everyone is a bit like, poetry's stupid. Poetry's just arty, farty, airy, fairy. Oh, isn't, you know, romantic stuff.
It's a book without the prose.
Mm. But...
or skill.
I have been introduced by my writing teacher, Czar, to Charles Bukowski. He writes poems like Samoa Joe cuts promos. I bought a book from him yesterday, The Essential Bukowski. Yeah, he's vicious. There is no niceness in these poems, and they are excellent for it. And do you want to hear a Charles Bukowski fact?
I would love one.
The epitaph, the epigraph, what do you call it? Epitaph? It's
epitaph.
The thing on his gravestone.
Epitaph.
I think it's epitaph.
Well, there's a song with the word epitaph in it. It's a Slayer song, so I mean, I'm going to go by what they say.
Yeah. I'm fine to be wrong, though. But his gravestone says, Charles Bukowski, don't try.
Crikey.
And you're like, oh, okay, what a fascinating life philosophy. Just don't try. Apparently, like, he did say stuff like that. Like, don't try is to... the best way to write poetry isn't to force it. Just don't try, and it comes out eventually, which is what people talk about writer's block. But the real reason, well,
do a YouTube video on it.
It's good thumbnail.
The old Hollywood Book of Stars that used to be passed around PR agencies and agents, where you'd have like phone numbers or contact details for all these celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
Next to Bukowski's name, because he never got back to anyone and he hated all that crap because he was a badass and he just drank until 4 a.m. every morning. It just said, don't try.
Nice.
And that's where it comes from.
Very nice. A couple of jokes before we get out of here. Ed the Postie sends in, I've recently got addicted to skiing. Oh, it's a slippery slope. That's not a joke. What do you call a boomerang that doesn't come back? A stick. That one comes from Daniel Perry. Got a bit of a noise out of Ollie Davis for that one.
I've heard that one before.
Brag. Let's see. Brandon Ryer writes in, what's good, WrestleTalk? Screw Cult or whatever their stupid name is. I've got a joke for Luke, and now one for Ollie. Joke for Luke. Why is there always a gate around cemeteries? Because people are dying to get in. And a joke, and this is genuinely my wife's least favourite joke in the entire world. What's green and smells like pork? Kermit's finger. That's all we have got time for on this show. I'm going to apologise to my wife because I know she listens to this and I tell her that joke a lot and she absolutely hates it. So we're going to be back tomorrow with the NXT review. Myself and Laurie will be here. And I know what you're all hoping. There will be some Dungeons and Dragons chats because we've just finished our mini campaign. So
can't wait to listen to
it. Well, I mean, you don't listen, so it's fine. So lots to talk about with that. But also, you know, NXT. Keith Lee versus Lars Sullivan's on the show. So take care. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.